Before I leave, if you like, the scholarship in a way. So you've talked about the difficulties of definition. You talked about how this shift and whether it's about the centre or the periphery and those sorts of things as well. And obviously, some of the stuff around the Porter and the McKenzie is about the limitations of a very narrowly prescribed empirical approach to empire, as well as how you define what we mean by empire. And I think I just want to ask you to say a little bit more, because I think actually, apart from the politics, because there's obviously politics sitting behind that, but I think there are some productive things for schools history in relation to that turn, if you like, that happens. So partly there's a turn to theory, which you've mentioned Said and people like that and Spivak and things like that. That may not be quite as useful to history teachers as maybe the turn towards culture, and how culture as a way and a place of finding empire rather than in narrowly sort of prescribed sort of empirical things, then that might be a sort of thing to sort of say something a little bit more about. So it's just saying something more about the methods that come about as a result of this turn, and perhaps the new or different questions that are being asked in relation to that particular turn.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, cultural history is a rich and vast field now. You can, and this is not to simplify it, but now historians are looking at the role or the impact or the connections of empire with food, the food we eat, the curry, you know, that we eat down the curry house, street names, music, dress, you know, all sorts of aspects of our everyday lived experience that we may now come to have very different connotations from, but the very way in which British culture has evolved through the process of its contact with, its engagement with empire. And actually, that shift towards a privileging of very different kinds of sources has been a really important part of this historiographical turn, the methodological turn in history. And in many ways, it's quite revealing of different layers to historical experience that, say, you would not find in a traditional colonial archive or canonical archive, be it of literature or be it of government records or letters and that kind of thing. And that enables you to not only think about how Britain itself was transformed or not, according to Bernard Porter, by the experience of empire, but also to access how people of all classes, regions of society, you know, genders and backgrounds, whether they were British born and brought up or whether they are immigrants that have come from, again, just that term immigrant, how that becomes a part of this debate, whether they are people from the wider periphery of empire coming to the UK or otherwise, how they themselves are participants, shapers, makers, consumers of this evolving culture. So it enables you essentially to have a more broad, all-encompassing, a deeper sense of the history of empire and how it plays out in people's everyday lives and how it impacts on politics, which in school is actually probably something that kids are much more able to relate to